The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Joining us on the line is Byron York with the Washington Examiner, a guy who's been writing some very insightful stuff over there about campaign 2016. Good morning to you, Byron. How are you?
Good morning, Ryan. I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to start off by talking about the event that occurred on 9/11, just outside Ground Zero. Hillary Clinton takes some kind of step off of the curb, and it didn't look good. Anybody who's seen that video, I think, is troubled by what they saw there. How do you think this is going to play out in this election? Is it going to have an impact on the mind of voters when they cast their ballots?
Well, I think there's a couple of things on it. The way the Clinton team handled it, and if you followed the news, that day you were just as confused as the reporters were. The way the team handled it does nothing to help Clinton's reputation for being, shall we say, secretive and not telling the truth. Those are always two of the worst numbers in Hillary Clinton's polls, and this ain't going to help at all. As far as the substance of it is concerned, I mean, there had been lots of rumors and talk about Hillary Clinton's health, but this one, if it is what they say it is, it's kind of understandable to people. I mean, we've all been sick. We've had a cold. We tried to keep working. It got worse, and we ended up in bed. I think if there were nothing else that happened in the course of this campaign and she was fine and seemed vigorous and everything, I think that's probably not going to have a huge effect.
But let me ask you a question, because it, as we've gotten to learn more about it, I mean, yesterday I was struck by one thing. There was a story out there that I completely forgot about from 2005. She passed out on a stage in upstate New York when she was a senator. That happened in 2005. 2012, she passes out in her home, hits her head. We know about that one. It's well documented. They talk about that. And then we see this incident on the street in New York City. That's three incidents that we know of. Doesn't that start to have a doesn't
No,
that
that's an excellent point. And, you know, Bill Clinton kind of went off message and suggested that, you know, not too many times, but more than a couple, she has actually, that has actually happened to her. So you're right, that is an issue, and especially with the one in 2005, which most people like me had forgotten, you had forgotten it. If you put them together like that, yeah, that's a question.
If I could ask, Byron, you have an interesting take on the deplorables comment. I think that most pundits and observers and American voters thought that what she said was, akin to the 47% remark from Romney. It showed that she had disdain for a certain segment of the American voters, many of whom are supporting Donald Trump and don't consider themselves racist, homophobic, misogynistic. But you had a different take. What's this all about?
Well, I think some of the people in the Trump circle, Trump supporters, viewed this as just a gift from Hillary Clinton. But if you looked at the way it plays out, now this requires a willing press, which she has, actually.
Yeah, uh-huh.
What you saw was when Mike Pence appeared on Monday on CNN, Mike Pence, Wolf Blitzer, says, well, you know, I mean, some of your supporters are deplorables, aren't they, right? I mean, David Duke, he's deplorable, right? Now, Pence said, I think very categorically, he said, we don't want his support, and we don't want the support of people who think like him. That's
right.
Pretty clear. And then Wolf says, yeah, but he's deplorable, right? And then Pence wouldn't say that. So if you look, the headlines from the rest of the day and from yesterday, Pence declines to call Duke deplorable. Mike Pence refuses to call Duke deplorable. And multiply that by about 50. That was all of the headlines from this. So And of course, Hillary Clinton jumped on this, saying, "You know, look, if you can't call David Duke deplorable, you really don't deserve to be running for president." Mm-hmm. So I think it turned into something that, and this is probably not an accident, and probably not unconsidered by the Hillary people, turned into something that could be used against Trump and his team.
Yeah, it is. You're right. I mean, he does have a willing. They do have a willing press corps willing to take up such issues, and maybe there was some brilliance to it at all. However, I think that when I talk to people of the conservative and the conservative movement, they're very deeply offended by this. And are there people out there that were sort of on the bubble who will say, in your mind, you know what, that's just a little too much?
Well, I think there could be, and you've seen a lot of people. You've seen at the Trump rallies. I mean, Trump had a rally the next day, and called people up on this day. I think it was in North Carolina. Called mm-hmm. people yep. up on the stage, kind of a diverse group of Trump supporters. You know, saying, "I'm not deplorable. I'm not deplorable."
Right.
And that was actually a pretty effective presentation.
It was, right. Yeah.
And so the whole deplorable thing has become clearly a meme on the Trump side. And, yeah, it is something I think it consolidates his support. Does it actually extend his support? That part I don't know.
Interesting. Byron, let me also ask you, you know, everyone's waking up this morning to this news of leaked Colin Powell emails. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there seems to be two very specific headlines, depending on which news agency you look at. One is Colin Powell in leaked emails calls Donald Trump a disgrace to this nation. See, now, to me, that's a dog bites man headline because he's already been out there
exactly.
as one of the never Trumps. Then there's also this chain of emails, a remarkable chain between he and a very influential fundraiser for the Democratic Party, revealing a lot about their feelings about Hillary Clinton. Why don't you shed some light on that and tell me if this makes a difference?
Well, Colin Powell, it sounds like he's shaping up as a Evan McMullen voter, as far as I can tell. but, I mean, he displays
he's the one.
Emails, real contempt for Hillary Clinton. I mean, one, for the fact that she tried to pin this whole email thing on him. He's been telling her not to do that. He explains in great detail why the system that he used for private email was different than hers, one of the big one being he used the actual State Department system for classified information. And then basically saying, you know, she just kind of screws everything up. Mm-hmm. And she kind of goes at everything so hard and won't listen to what anybody tells her and is so secretive that she screws everything up. Now, this is Colin Powell, a man I believe who voted twice for Barack Obama.
Yep, and
is not in any way hostile to the Obama administration. Really, and in a private conversation, saying some very damaging things about Hillary Clinton.
The poll numbers do seem to be tightening, and I know that when you look at polls, you don't look at one poll, you look at many, many, many polls, and we haven't seen yet whether there's any fallout from the health matter to any degree, or whether the basket of deplorable things will have an impact on the polls or not. But it is definitely tightening up. Where do you think that are the most difficult spots for the Trump campaign?
Well, a couple of things. One, the Real Clear Politics average of national polls is now at 2.1. Hillary Clinton up by 2.1. And if you remember, a month ago, it was about 8 points. A really big one this morning, and it's getting a lot of talk.
An Ohio poll,
by
right.
Bloomberg in Ohio, which shows Trump up by 5 points, 48-43 over Hillary Clinton. By the way, for you folks who are following the Senate races, it shows Rob Portman just killing Ted Strickland, 53-36.
Right.
So let me tell you one number from this Bloomberg poll. They asked, did NAFTA increase or decrease jobs in Ohio? Increase 20%, decrease 57%.
Wow, whoa. That's interesting.
That's a huge number. And I think that you know, might help Trump in Pennsylvania as well. Might help him in a place like Wisconsin, which, you know, no Republican has won since Reagan in 1984.
Right.
These are numbers that are actually looking pretty good for Trump. And I think there's a couple of reasons. Obviously, Clinton has had a bad few days. There's no doubt about that. But Trump has really cleaned up his act on the stump.
Yes, he has.
He does better in his stump speeches. There's fewer extemporaneous remarks to get himself in trouble. He also combines the big rallies that he always loved so much with actual events like visiting a church or visiting Louisiana or sitting at a round table with some labor leaders or things like that. He's varying it up a little bit, getting better local press by doing that. And so, yes, Hillary's having some problems right now, but Trump is actually doing better.
We'll have to leave it right there. Byron York from the Washington Examiner, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.